Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 12th chapter of Hilchos Gerushin. In this Perek, the Rambam discusses what is required to establish a woman as being believed to have been married or divorced. Halacha Aleph. Isha Shebab Amra Isha Ish Hayisi Grushani Nemenes. If a woman comes and claims that she was a married woman, but now she's been divorced, in that case, she's believed. Shehapesh Azer Hu Hapesh Hitter. Because the very same mouth which had forbidden her, i.e., when she had said she was married, she's been forbidden to other men, at that point, it's the very same mouth which has permitted her. It's the same testimony which has told us that she's now permitted. Chosuka Eshes Ish, Ubab Amra Gershani Bali. However, if she has been presumed to be a married woman from other reasons, and now she comes and claims that her husband had divorced her, in an MNS, Lahatri Atma Lashuk, she is not believed to permit herself to marry somebody else. Al Pasla Atma Lakuna Lola. However, she is believed to the degree where she is now forbidden to marry a kohen. The im meis baila choshen l'dvoreha v'choletzes loyos me'bemetz. And now, if her husband dies and doesn't have any children, and therefore she would be standing to do levirate marriage, we are concerned that perhaps she had already been divorced, and therefore it is forbidden for her to sleep with her husband's brother, and therefore we have her do the process of chalitza, the process of sending her away with the shoe, rather than actually marrying him. Halacha beis hayula shnei edim shehi grusha afal pi she'ein sham get harizuti nasei l'chachila. If there are two witnesses who testify that this woman has been divorced, then even though she doesn't actually have the actual bill of divorce, the actual get, she nonetheless is allowed to ideally go and get remarried. Hotzia get mitachas yada, v'amra gershani ba'li, b'zeh, harei zu ne'emenes, v'tinasei bo, afal pi she'eino mekuyam, kamo shebi'aronim. If she pulls out an actual get, and she says, my husband divorced me with this, she is believed in that case as well, and she can ideally go ahead and remarry off of it, even though the get itself has not been ratified. Halacha gimel, ba'a ba'al v'irur. If the husband then comes and protests, Imamar, Lonisativ Law, Elanafam Menu Umanzo, so, Inonaman. If the husband claims, I never gave it to her, I just dropped it and she picked it up and now is claiming it was hers, so in that case, he's not believed. Shari Hoda Shaksavola, Arehu Yotzi Mitachas Yada. Because in that case, he admits that he had written it for her and right now she's holding it. Al Imamar Habal, Al Tanai Haya, Pikadon Haya, Mi Olam Loksavtiv, Mizuyafu. If, however, the husband makes a different claim, and he says there was a stipulation in it, he says that he had given it her as a deposit, he claims that he had never written it at all, he claims that it had been forged, in that case, Yiskai b'chusamav, obeidim asira, kimoshi b'aranu. Then, in that case, we have to ratify the signatures of those that had signed upon it, or bring in the witnesses who had seen the exchange itself, as the Rambam has already explained. V'im lo niskayim, einam agureshes lios muteres l'achir, avol pasla nafsha mikuna, kimoshi b'aranu. If she cannot validate the divorce in one of these two ways, then she is not believed to permit herself to other people, but she is believed with regards to now forbidding herself from ever marrying a kohen, as the Rambam has already explained. Sharei pasla atzma bohodas bia, v'asta atzma khaticha shel iser. Because by her own admission, she is forbidden to marry a kohen, and therefore she's made herself like somebody who is forbidden to marry them. Halacha dalet. Bahi ubailef. Both the woman and the husband come together. He omaris girashtani babagiti. She claims that he's divorced me and I've lost my get. Uomer lo girashtich. But the husband says, I've never divorced you. Even though we are under the strong presumption that she is his wife, nonetheless, she is believed in this case. Because there is a strong presumption as well that a woman won't have the gall, the brazenness, to deny her husband that she still married him and claim that he's already divorced him in his presence. Halacha hey. Amar bal girashtani es ishti. If the husband claims that he's divorced his wife, he's not believed on that alone, but we do have concern for his words, and therefore it's considered uncertain whether she's been divorced. Even if she admits that she had been divorced by him, she's not believed. Because perhaps he's just intending to mess her over, or he's divorced her with a nullified get, and she doesn't realize she's unsuspecting to his plot. O shema taz panehabo, ibnei shehu ma'amina, v'hi eino yudas, kovet ha'iser shela. Or perhaps she's just decided to be brazen enough because he believes her, and she doesn't know, she doesn't realize how severe this prohibition is. L'fikach omrim lo, im emes adavar, hari etem mekayim garash osa ata b'faneinu. We just tell them instead, therefore, look, right now, you're both alive, you're both well, you're both present. If what you're saying is the truth, just go ahead and divorce her right now in our presence. Halacha vav. If two witnesses say that she's been divorced and two say she's not been divorced, even if the husband is present and she says that he's divorced her, in that case, we presume that she is fully a married woman. Because in this case, since she has witnesses supporting her claim, We are concerned that perhaps she would have the brazenness to deny her husband that she still married him. Therefore, if she gets remarried in such a situation, so then she must leave that new husband, and any child she has from him is considered illegitimate. When is this true? That's when she claims that she's been divorced recently, at which point now we can say to her, if the matter is true, so show us your get. However, if the witnesses say she's been divorced a while back, then perhaps the get has been lost. And therefore, since she's claiming I'm absolutely divorced, and two witnesses are testifying for her, even though there are two witnesses who are denying them, if she marries one of her two witnesses, then she does not have to leave him. Because she and her husband both know for a fact that she's permitted to him. And there's a strong presumption that they're not going to intentionally mess themselves over in this fashion. If she marries somebody else, though, who does not know with certainty that she's really been divorced, or if she says, I'm not certain, and she marries one of her witnesses, so in that case, she has to leave that new husband, and the child that is born from that new husband is potentially illegitimate. If two people say that we saw her get divorced, and two people say, we were there also, and we didn't see it. If all of them were living in one courtyard, so then that's basis for us to say that she should not go ahead and get remarried, because the fact that the two of them didn't see it, or they're claiming not to have seen it, supplies us with enough reason to think that maybe it hadn't happened. However, if she does go ahead and get remarried, she doesn't have to leave that new husband, and any child born from that new husband is considered legitimate. Because there is a rationale that people sometimes get divorced privately, and therefore, we suspect that might have happened here, and that's why the two others hadn't seen it. If a woman was not presumed for any other reason to be a married woman, and then along comes one and says that she was indeed a married woman, and now she's been divorced, but then another witness comes along and says, yes, she was married, but she did not get divorced. Both of them are technically testifying that she was married. And only one of them is testifying that she has been divorced. And we don't consider the words of one of them in the place of two of them. Therefore, and therefore, she's not supposed to get any remarried. And if she does dare to get remarried, then she must leave the new husband. If a woman and two men come from some faraway place, and one of the men says that this is my wife, and this other man is my slave, and the other one says, no, this is my wife, and this man is my slave. But Isha marries Shnei Avadai, and the woman says, neither of them are my husbands, both are my slaves. Harihi Muteres Lekol, she is permitted to marry anyone. But Aval Pisha Shnei Mechzigu Abeshes Ish, even though technically between the two men, we have testimony from two witnesses that she is a married woman, Ho Vachol Echad Mehen, Hiya La'atzmo, and an Emanet. Since each of them is testifying for their own sake, then they are not believed. Halach Yud Aleph, Shliach Kabbalah Shotzi Get Mitachas Yada, Vabal Omer Mezuyafu, if there is a messenger of the woman to receive her get, who pulls out a get, and the husband says that it's been forged, so in that case, we need to ratify the get. We have to prove either the signatures are legitimate or bring in the witnesses who had seen the exchange, as the Rambam has already explained. If the husband claims, I gave it to this man, yes, this is his messenger, but only as a deposit, and the messenger says, no, he gave it to me in order to divorce his wife, in that case, the messenger is believed. Similarly, if the get is in the woman's hand, and the woman claims that this messenger gave it to me, and the messenger claims, yes, I gave it to her because the husband had given it to me in order to divorce her, but the husband claims, no, I didn't give it to him for that, I gave it to him just as a deposit, in that case, the messenger is believed, and she is divorced. Halach Yud Beis. Avad I get, if the get has been lost, even though the husband claims that he had given it to a messenger in order to divorce, and the messenger claims that he had given it to the woman, in this case, it is uncertain whether she's been divorced, because she's been presumed to be a married woman, and we only have one witness, the messenger, testifying she's been divorced, and the husband. Even if the woman herself says, yes, I saw the husband give it to the messenger in order to divorce me, and the messenger gave it to me, since the husband as well as the messenger are both supporting her claim, Esther Shalaz Paneha, Vashem Elohim Skarsha. In that case, we are concerned that perhaps she will have the brazenness to lie and speak falsely about her divorce. Maybe she hadn't actually been divorced. If a messenger of a woman to receive the get has received the get from the husband, and then this messenger gives it to a different messenger to send to the woman, and he does so in front of two witnesses, and then that messenger goes and hands it to the woman, she takes it, it's now in her hands, and she doesn't know whether the husband had sent it to her, or whether her own messenger to receive it had sent it to her, or whether the messenger of the husband had sent it to her, in that case, she is nonetheless divorced, as the Rama has already explained. If the husband then comes along and claims, he protests that he had never written this get, or that it had been nullified. In that case, yiskai b'chosimav. We have to ratify its signatures. Because we do have witnesses who can testify to the fact that the get that he had given to her was one that had left the hands of her shliach kabbalah, whose hand counts as her hand. And even though she doesn't know, the witnesses know. However, if we don't ratify its signatures, so then she is not considered divorced. If a woman was presumed to be a married woman, and she and her husband left to some faraway place, and there was peace between them, and there was peace in the world, and then she comes back alone, and she claims that her husband had died, she's believed in that case, and she's allowed to remarry or do levirate marriage, depending on the circumstance. Because there's a strong presumption that this woman isn't going to mess herself up and make herself forbidden to her original husband, as well as this new husband, and to lose her ksuba from both of them, and that her children should be illegitimate with regards to something which we think is bound to be found out. And something which is also impossible to deny, to claim anything, because if he's alive, he's bound to come or be found out that he's alive. Similarly, if along comes one witness and testifies that her husband had died, she's allowed to get remarried on the basis of his words, because this is something which we expect to be found out. This is even true if it was a slave who had come, or a woman, or a maidservant, or one witness who heard it from another witness, who heard it from the mouth of a slave, who heard it from the mouth of a maidservant, who heard it from the mouth of his relatives. Nonetheless, they're all believed in these cases to say that he had died, and to allow this woman to go ahead and remarry, or to do levirate marriage on their basis. Now, everybody is believed to testify on this woman's behalf with regards to her husband's death, aside from five women who are presumed to potentially hate each other, and therefore we don't trust them to testify for one another because of the fact that perhaps he's still alive in this case, and they are just trying to mess her over. Now, these are the five: Chamosa, her mother-in-law; Ubas Chamosa, the daughter of her mother-in-law; Vetzarasa, and her rival wife; Viavimta, and the wife of her husband's brother; Bas Baila, as well as the daughter of her husband. Afilu Ovid Chavim, HaMesiach V'Tumo, Neman, Masin Al-Piv, Kamoshi's Bar. Even a non-Jew who is just speaking by way about without realizing that we're going to take his words as testimony is believed to allow her to remarry on the basis of his words, as the Rambam will explain. And Ms. Kavin Lahad, Eino Nema. However, if the non-Jew is intending to testify, then he's not believed. Halacha Yud Zayin. V'chein apostle ba'aveira min haTorah, im ba'al hod v'isha shemeis ba'ila, Eino Nema. Similarly, somebody is forbidden because of some sin that they had done on a Torah level to testify, and now has come to testify on behalf of this woman that her husband had died, nonetheless, they are not believed. However, if he's speaking in innocence, then he is believed. Because he's no less than a non-Jew. However, somebody who's only rabbinically unable to testify, that individual is believed with regards to the testimony of a woman. If one witness comes along and testifies that this woman's husband had died, and thereby they permit her to remarry on the basis of this witness's testimony, and then afterwards comes along another witness who denies the testimony of the first one and says that the husband hadn't died, in that case, she doesn't lose her original permission to remarry, and she's allowed to go and remarry. She'eid echa neman beidus isha, kishnei edim, shar eduyus, v'ein devarav shel echa b'makum shnayim. because one witness is believed with regards to the testimony of a woman, as we've seen, like two witnesses with regards to other testimonies. And therefore, the one person who's denying this testimony is like one versus two in other contexts, and therefore is disregarded. Halacha Yud Tes. If both witnesses came at the same time, this one says that the husband had died, this one says that he had not died. Ish omeres meis, ish omeres lo meis. Or one woman says that he had died, another woman says that he had not died. In that case, the woman is not supposed to go ahead and get remarried. And if she does go get remarried, well, in that case, she's got to leave the new husband because it was uncertain whether she was allowed to marry him. However, if she marries the witness who had testified on her behalf and she says that she knows for sure, with certainty, that the husband had died, in that case, she does not have to leave the new husband. If two witnesses then come along and say that he hadn't died, even though she's gotten remarried in that case, nonetheless, she has to leave the new husband. When is that true? That's with regards to when the one witness who she had been remarried on, his word was the same as those two witnesses who came and denied him. Such as if she had been remarried on the basis of a man's testimony, and along come two men and testified that he hadn't died. Or she had been remarried on the basis of the testimony of one woman or her own testimony, and then along come two women or two people who are invalid to testify on a rabbinic level and say that he hadn't died. However, if one valid witness with regards to other matters of testimony says that the husband had died, and then many women or many people who are rabbinically forbidden to testify come and say that he hadn't died, in that case, it's like a 50-50 question. Therefore, if she marries one of her witnesses and she claims that he had for sure died, in that case, she does not have to leave the new husband. If another woman says that this woman's husband had died, or the woman herself says that her husband had died, and then afterwards a valid witness comes in and says that he hadn't died, in that case, she's not allowed to get remarried. And if she does get remarried, then she has to leave the new husband. If one woman says that this wife's husband hadn't died, and two other women say that this wife's husband had died, in that case, this woman is allowed to go ahead and get remarried. Similarly, if 10 women say that he hadn't died, and 11 others say that he had died, in that case, since the majority says he's died, she's allowed to get remarried. Because the rule of saying that two witnesses already count like 100, there's no differentiation between numbers of witnesses, that rule only applies with regards to valid witnesses. But with regards to invalid witnesses, such as women in this case, so then we file after the majority whether to be lenient or whether to be strict. If two witnesses say that the husband had died and two witnesses say that he had not died, in that case, she's not supposed to go get remarried. And if she does get remarried, she must leave the new husband because it was uncertain whether she was allowed to. However, she marries one of her witnesses and she claims that she knows for a fact that the husband had died, in that case, she does not have to leave the new husband. The final halach in the parak. If somebody has two wives, and one of the women comes along and says that her husband had died, in that case, she is allowed to go ahead and get remarried on the basis of her own testimony, as Ram has already explained. However, her rival wife, the other wife, is forbidden to get remarried, because we said before, she is not trusted to testify on behalf of her rival wife. Even if this wife who had testified goes ahead and gets remarried to somebody else, we don't say that had her husband not died, she wouldn't have dared to make herself be forbidden to him. Because perhaps out of the hatred for her rival wife, it's worth it for her to go and forbid herself to her original husband by marrying somebody else, just so that the rival wife will think she's allowed to, she'll also go ahead and get remarried and thereby forbid herself. It's worth it, therefore, for this wife to mess over the other one rather than saving herself. If one of the women says that her husband had died, but her rival wife denies and says, no, he hadn't died, in that case, the one who is testifying is allowed to go ahead and get remarried. Just as she's not believed to testify on her behalf to permit her, she's also not able to testify for her behalf to forbid her. If one of them says that he had died, naturally, the other one says, no, he was killed. Since both of them are testifying, ultimately, that he is no longer alive, so then they're both allowed to get remarried. Have a wonderful day.